years that I've been coming down here, I looked over there and I said, "Miss Betty, where's Brother Jay's hearing aid?" She said, "He lost it. And he don't know where he lost it." I said, "That's not going to stop him from hearing me." Ain't that a sight? I've heard of a lot of things, but never just getting rid of your hearing aid.
You just don't
want to
hear it.
Oh, I can understand. Well, I am. I didn't mean that bad. I didn't mean it. I sent word. I told Brother Lawrence. I said to tell Brother Jay and Miss Betty, if they would just get right before I got here, it saved me a week's hard preaching. I love Brother Jay. I love you folks. It's a real honor to get to come down here. And I was listening to Brother Lawrence this morning. And boy, let me say this. Done an excellent job on Sunday school. You better hope and pray in your lifetime that you never see America turn against Israel. You better hope and pray. Let me tell you the reason why. Every nation that's ever turned against Israel, God turns against them. And can you believe these rank liberals are now doing everything they can to turn the tide against Israel? Israel's the problem. That's what everybody says, the worldwide, Israel's the problem. Israel's not the problem. Amen. They're not the problem. Boy, I'm glad there's going to come a day. I'm not changing whether y'all look like y'all taking a dose of castor oil or something. It ain't going to be that bad, Lord. Help us. I'm the one that drove 3 hours and a half. I come in from a little place outside of Roanoke, Virginia, Blacksburg, Virginia, where all the problems is going on. And I had the privilege of being with a man, Brother Irvin Sloan, been there for 45 years. Well, y'all could say something. Most of them don't last 45 days. But he's been there 45 years, and he asked me, you ought to see him, he's 83 years, he'll be 84 his birthday. He said, "Preacher, listen, I've been with him for 20-some years, and every year." And he said, "Preacher, would you come in and be with me and give me the date?" That was last week. And he said, "Would you come in on my birthday? And would you come in on our anniversary? And we'll have our homecoming." And I said, "Well, Brother Irvin," I said, "I'm booked to be that week." And he said, and he got real quiet on the phone. He said, "Well, surely you can come and be with me." Normally, I don't ever do that. Normally, I just don't ever try to change a meeting. So anyway, I changed with Brother Lawrence to go to be with him for 45 years. Boy, did we ever have a time. 45 years. He'd be 84 his birthday. And he told me, he said, "This is probably the last time me and you'll ever be together." And he had his oxygen tank. Isn't that a blessing? Most people just crawl up somewhere and quit. Let me tell you this. I'd rather laugh as any human in the world. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So I was with Brother Irvin this past week. But prior to that, I'd been in High Point, North Carolina with Brother Bobby Meadows. He'd been in his church 48 years. I'm with these elderly people. He'd been there for 48 years. And I've been with him a lot of times over the years. He pastors Meadow Creek Baptist there in Allendale. So they told me, they said, "Brother, assistant, would you go and see Brother Bob?" Said he's real bad. I said, "Well, yeah, I'll go see him. He's in the hospital, High Point Hospital." So I went down to see him, Doc, Brother Noble. And you ought to see him. He's an old mountain preacher. And his hair's got a flat top. Been wearing his hair in a flat top ever since I ever knew him in my life. His wife has passed away and lives by himself, and he's 80 plus years old. So I said, "I got to go, Doc." He said, "Well," I said, "let's have prayer." He said, "Let me tell you a joke." I said, "Brother Bob, he's got oxygen on his mouth, had a massive heart attack, all kinds of problems, congestive heart failure, and he wants to tell me a joke." I said, "Okay, I'm getting ready to pray." He said, in years gone by, he said, this old preacher, a profoundness, great preacher in years gone by, was laying dying. So all these young preachers around that area, they wanted to hear what his last words is going to be. So they all gathered around his bed, and that old preacher laying there dying, this young preacher gets over there and puts his ear right down next to him and said, "I want to hear what his last words are." The old preacher looked up and said, "You're standing on my oxygen cord." And he went out into eternity. I got down in the floor and rolled, amen. That preacher telling me that joke and him so bad. And by the way, I left there, and he passed away just a few days later. Love God. Listen, that's our home going. Do you understand that? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hey, that's what I live for, amen. I wish y'all would perk up a little. Have y'all took Ritalin or Valium, Prozac? Quit passing that junk out, amen. All right, let's do this. How many have got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Right kind, it'll what? Thanks, Brother Lawrence. You ain't forgot. If that's the right kind, it'll count. Open your Bible and turn with me this morning to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, please. Anybody that knows me, anybody that ever knows me, I love people. I care about people. I love being around people. I'm very people-orientated. I can't imagine myself being somewhere marooned on an island without people. I just like people. And ever since the death of my son, it's been 4 years this past March. It's almost unbelievable to see that it's been that long since my son died. And my wife always goes with me. Ever since then, she's always went with me. In fact, she was coming with me down here, and I told her we had these flights of stairs to go up over here in the private room. And she's got that, she had her knee operated on, and then she's got another knee she's going to have operated on down the road. And so anyway, yesterday we were sitting on the porch, and we were just talking about things and about people and about people that we've been around with and how people have been so good, how God's been so good to us. And if you be honest, God's been good to you too, amen. Do y'all ever just take inventory of how good God's been to you? We're sitting out there on the porch, and she and I have been married 44 years, and I can't imagine my life without my wife. Lord help us. Somebody said, how do you stay together 44 years? I said, fight it out. That's real profound, ain't it, Kat? Amen. It's like this woman, she said, how's I preaching like a wild man down in North Carolina and got done preaching? She walked up to me and she said, I have you to know, me and my husband have never had an argument. We've been married 43 years. I said, really? She just went out the door. That preacher said, her pastor said, what did she say to you? So I told him. He said, you can't believe that woman. Said, she's the biggest liar in the whole church. I about died. 43 years, never had the first argument. You want to touch that, Miss Sharon? But anyway, my wife and I was just talking about how good God's been to us and how that the Lord gives you grace when you need it. Now, then a person in this building has not, I believe you can be associated with this. I preach every day of my life, every week of my life. I go into churches and people are run down. They're cold and indifferent on God and bitter and mad and upset and disillusioned, discouraged and don't know who in the world to believe in. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. I never seen nothing like it in my life. It's an epidemic everywhere I go. And I've soon been in evangelism 26 years. I'm going to get... So where's the sound man? You ain't got no sound man? Man, we need one bad. I'm going to get me some amens. I'm going to play me some amens back and then record them and play them back. But my point is watch this. Why did God save us? Why did God put us here? See, I believe we need each other. I really believe that. I believe we all need each other. And with that in your mind, I want you to read with me in Philippians, please, in chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, everybody gets your place, right? I'll try my best not to be too lengthy, okay? Look in Philippians in chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, now Paul is talking, and he's writing to the church of Philippi. Look in verse 10. He says, oh, that I might know him. Now, remember, he met him on the Damascus Road. Now, say amen. And that's been some 30-odd years down the road. Now, watch this. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though that I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, now that word brethren means out of the same womb. He says, brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in those verses, how many of you are saved and unashamed? Would you raise your hand? Anybody outside me ever get in a hurry? Now, would you raise your hand? Hey, listen, my whole life, time is a commodity that is not afforded me. Time is not a commodity that's afforded me. So I try to use time wisely. And I admit it now, I'm usually in a hurry. I started back out of the driveway. My wife said, don't get a ticket. I ain't had a ticket in 40 years, and she tells me not to get a ticket. I'm waiting until one day she gets a ticket. I'm going to put it on my radio broadcast. But anyway, what I mean is watch this. Everybody that knows me, I've built old cars all my life. I got an old ragged out 66 Chevrolet pickup truck that I've had for years. I mean, I've had the thing for years, and they'll say, when are you going to paint the thing? I ain't going to paint it. I just keep putting primer on it. And everybody says, everybody knows that old ragged out truck. Everybody knows it. So anyway, what I did here back, my mind sometimes leaves me. But I always wanted a 454 big block Chevrolet, one of them big block Chevrolets. So I traded a gun, and we've dealed and wheeled, and I put a brand new 454 big block Chevrolet down that little old bitty short bed Chevrolet. Son, it's bad to the bone. I'm telling you, hey, it'll rattle the feet underneath you. So anyway, it's got all this billet chrome on it and all this stuff, and I'm in a hurry, and I come in from revival meeting, and this man wanted me to come down there, and I jumped in that truck, wanted to drive it anyway, fired that thing up, boom, boy, out the driveway I went, and I told my wife, I said, I'll be back in a little while. In a hurry now, say amen, in a hurry. Saved going to heaven, but in a hurry. So I backed out of the driveway, and I noticed that it's dead empty on gas. So I pulled into this station to get gas, went in there and got my gas, put $20 with it, only got 10 gallons. Ain't that amazing? You can fire that thing up and it'll use almost that much every time you fire it up. Wasn't that dumb to do something like that? Gas wasn't as high as it is now. It's okay, lady. You can say that's dumb. Go ahead. That's sort of dumb. But anyway, I put that thing in there. And I pulled up to this station, got my gas, and I noticed this car sitting there. This car sitting there. And I seen these two little kids in the car seats, in the back, strapped in them car seats. And I noticed that they were just briefly sort of distraught. Well, I'm very observant. I just watch people. So I went in and stood there in line, paid for my gas, and I went back out. And I seen the guy had the hood up of the car. Now I'm in a hurry. Hello. I'm in a hurry. So anyway, I fired that big old big block Chevrolet up, boom, like that. And I started to back out, Brother Lawrence, and about that time the Spirit of God said, help them people. Do y'all ever have anything happen to you like that? Now I'm in a hurry. Y'all don't argue with God, but I do. I'm in a hurry. I hate being late with a passion. I can't stand being late for nothing. So anyway, I pulled back up there, turned my truck off, and I said, can I help you? He said, my car won't start. I said, well, now remember, the windows is down, kids in the back seat, mother's been crying, he's all bent out of shape. And I said, well, I don't know a whole lot, but I said, try it. It said, click, 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 click. Just. I said, how long has it been since you changed the battery? He said, I said, well, have you ever cleaned the terminals? He said, I said, raise the hood. So he raised the hood. And I noticed that corrosion all over both of those posts in the battery. So anyway, I've always worked on cars all my life. So I just put a brand new 100 amp, some of you men know what I'm talking about, 100 amp chrome generator. I mean, alternator. Ain't nobody in this building here know what I'm talking about. Cost me $99, that chrome alternator. Slapped that thing on there. So I thought, I don't want to jump start that thing and blow the diode out of it. So I raised that hood on my truck. And boy, he seen that motor. He said, what is that? I said, it's spelled M-O-T-O-R. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like that. So anyway, I took the little plug off the back of the alternator, and I done this. Now, I want you to listen. Just happened to have this. Not this thing. Lawrence talking about me preaching, not having no, what'd you say I had? I didn't have no revival in my suitcase. So I got me a pair of these right here. Now, watch this. How many of you have ever been jump-started? How many of you? You ever had in a hurry and your car wouldn't start? Ain't that annoying? Or you go out there and you're in a hurry, and that motor say, now you're in a hurry. Hello. And watch this. Anybody outside me, have you ever sat on the side of the road and just wished somebody would come by some of these? Talk to me. Have you? Hey, now anybody that knows this, watch this. Red goes on positive, right? Red goes on positive. So anyway, what I did was, now listen, I unplugged the alternator, got out my jumper cables, I went over there and I took the battery cables off of his. And I cleaned them posts real good. Cleaned the posts real good. Pocket knife, put them back on there, and it said, So anyway, now watch this. He didn't know one thing about a car. The kids are crying. I mean, that woman was distraught. So I put that positive on the positive and put the black on the negative. Man, I fired that big old big block Chevrolet up, and boy, in about a minute, it slung the rods out of that little four-cylinder. Y'all are like, boy, just cranked it right up. He said, and here's what he said. He said, I don't know how many people have passed me by and didn't offer to help me. Wanted to pay me. I said, you don't owe me nothing. And boy, I got in that old truck of mine. And I started down there to that man's house, and I broke down and cried and just had a spell. Think about how many times in my personal life that we all just need to get a good jump start. I didn't say we wasn't saved. Sometimes, brother, we all just need to get started over again. Say amen. And I hear this, oh, if I only could just go back and do things over again. Y'all ever heard that? How many times have I heard this? Boy, if I could just start over, if I could just live my life over again, if I could just go back and do things again like I used to. Paul said, look in verse 10, all that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. You raised your hand a moment ago that you said you're saved. Listen to this. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, according to the power that worketh in us. Boy, ain't it a blessing, dear God, to get a whole dead battery and throw that tape. Hey, sometimes batteries just get tired. Say amen, Jay. Man. Am I in a good ear?
We don't make any difference.
Sometimes we all just get tired. Physically, mentally, spiritually, we all just get tired. What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about the devil will wear you out. Let's go back and show you this. Look back if you would in your Bible. I don't want you to watch. Drop down. I want to show you these truths. Look at your Bible. You say, brother, sister, I know my past is forgiven. Say amen right there. Man, I know, thank God, God found me and forgave me and fixed me in a family. I know that. But I'm on this little mud ball planet called Earth. And sometimes, brother, I just need jump starting. Let me see. Stick them out here. Hold still. Now, we don't want to cross these things up. Now, watch this. He says, according to the power that worketh in us. If you read your Bible, everybody sometime or another, if we all need each other, we all just need jump started. We need each other. We're all fighting the same devil, same world, same flesh. Say amen. And sometimes, don't you dare take them off. What do you mean? I want to use this morning by the help and grace of God. They ask me, they say, how did y'all get through the death of your son? If it had not been for people praying for us? What do you mean, preacher? And knowing the Lord, and knowing, thank God, there's more to life than just this. I begin to put it in my mind, drop down and look in your Bible. I want you to look in your Bible. Look, if you don't mind, and mark this down. Look in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What do you mean, preacher? If sometimes in our life we need to get jump started and just forget all of our past failures, who has not failed sometime or another? Amen. I didn't say you went out here and got drunk, committed whoredom. I didn't say that. Sometimes we all just fail, amen. And boys, I'll be honest with you before God, we need to forget all this junk back there. Paul was a blasphemer. Read your Bible in Acts 26. Paul was a man that had persecuted the Jew beyond belief and probably was responsible for killing a lot of them. And here he says, forgetting those things which are behind. What do you mean, preacher? That horror of your past back there. I forget all those past grudges. I never seen so many people packing grudges around all my life. I'm talking about S-A-V-E, saved people. They hold on to them grudges. They hold on to things back there. Yes, but you don't know what she did. You don't know what my husband did. You don't know what my children did. You don't know what my ex-preacher done. And they live. I didn't say they wasn't saved, but they live back on that junk. You need to forget the grudges. Somebody asked me, he said, Brother Sisson, have you ever been done wrong? You're breathing air, ain't you? If I lived on that stuff, If I just let it, if I let it dwell on me, do you understand what I'm saying, sister? Do you understand what I'm saying? If I dwelled on them past grudges back there and all that junk back there, say amen to me, I'd never do nothing for God. Hey, I'm talking about God give us this, and that is what? To be able to forget those things back there. You know, I told them sometimes, I wish my mind was like, I'm not a computer. In fact, I live to blow up computers. I hate them with a passion. I mean, some people might like them, but I don't like them. I don't even like cell phones. I got one, but I don't like the thing. My point is watch this. I wish my mind had an edit button where you could edit that junk out of there. Would y'all say amen? Yeah. Just push that button and edit it all out of there. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? I'm saying that commercial about that easy button. I'm going to get me one of them easy buttons and I'm going to preach on the easy button. But I'm saying, look at me. We ought to forget the past grudges back there. Forget that junk. How about this one? So many people live in this junk. Sometimes we just need a good jump start. What do you mean by this? A good meeting of God, a good revival. Now watch this. Go back. Look at your Bible. Not only forget all those grudges, I'll never trust anybody again. I've heard that a million times. I thought about this over and over again. They've been betrayed. They feel like they've been done wrong. And I'm saying, hey, look what they've done to our Savior. Say amen right there. Oh, we need to forget the past grudges back there. Quit living back there in that junk. Second thing, not only that, forget all the past grief. When my boy, and I appreciate Brother Lawrence all my heart, him and Miss Sharon came to my home. I stood at the head of the coffin of my boy, him 21 years of age. I can't explain. And could I tell you something? If y'all won't send me home, that's okay. But please don't do this. Don't ever be guilty of saying, I know how you feel. Until you've lost a child, don't say that. Please don't do that. I stood at the head of the coffin of my boy, my heart a-grieving, my heart breaking. I believe sometimes some grief is all right. But what if I just live 24/7 at the head of the coffin of my boy? I'm saying I understand that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Say amen. But I'm saying we need to forget all the past grief. I didn't say not grieve. I didn't say that. Don't go to here and lie on me. I'm saying, don't, like Paul, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm talking about our broken heart. Sometimes we ought to just say, God, heal my broken heart. Amen. Just say, God, jumpstart me. Not only the past grudges, not only this past grief. Third thing I believe is all my heart. Guilt's killing us. It's eating us up. People come in and they're guilt-ridden. They go home guilt-ridden. They get up guilt-ridden. They just live with guilt 24/7. They don't know what to do with it. The American people are just absolutely guilt-ridden. It's like these two men met at a psychiatrist's office. He said, are you coming or going? He said, if I knew that, I wouldn't be here. We don't know whether we're coming or going. We're just guilt-ridden. Anybody outside me, have you ever made a vow to God and didn't keep the vow? Would you be honest? How many of you would raise your hand? Let me ask you a question. Brother, that is dangerous. Let me tell you why. If you ever made a vow and didn't fulfill that vow, the devil will creep up on your shoulder and he'll use guilt against you the rest of your life. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, his blood cleanses us from what? All sin, thank God. Not only forget the past guilt, forget all this past glory. I come in here and sit down. Sometimes I just park out there and look around. See, I was here when they had the little building over there. I stayed here 17 days and preached 3 times a day. Everything I know and some things I'm not even real sure of. Preached on the radio, preached at chapel, preached at school. 17 days straight in a row. Boy, you talk about in years gone by. You talk about some glory that's fell on us in the school, in the chapels. But now watch this. We can all live on that past glory. You can live back there, but hey, look here. If I, the Lord, change not, God's not changed. It's us that's changed. So what I'm saying is, forget all. I didn't say, I don't mean just absolutely forget all of it. I don't mean that. Quit living back there for all the past glory back there. Hey, say, God, you're the same yesterday, forever. Do for us what you've done about 20 years ago. Breathe on us. Watch this. I don't know how much. Did you take them off? You better not have. You're a dead man. Watch this. You know as well as I do, boy, a fresh battery. Huh? See, some of y'all ain't never been stranded on the side of the road, have you? Boy, and I mean, watch this, and somebody come over and give you a jump, say amen right there. Boy, watch this, and all of a sudden that smile will come on your face. Now you're back in business again. What I'm saying is, look at Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget what the past back there. Forget that stuff. Boy, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to say, God, jump start us. Second thing, look in your Bible, watch this. Look in verse 13. Paul says, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Not only forget those which are behind, but then foresee the things which are before us. Do y'all ever envision people walking down the aisles getting saved? I've never forgot their children. Do y'all ever just envision in your mind, boy, your loved ones coming down an aisle and getting right with God? Boy, I do. In fact, that's what pushes my buttons, amen. Boy, yeah, you talk about somebody coming alive, it's just watch people start walking down the aisle getting saved. That blesses me beyond anything. Especially where people have prayed and prayed and been praying for 20-some years for their children and grandchildren. What do you mean, brother Sisson? I'm talking about we all need to get jump-started and get a vision again. Like it used to be, dear God. Hallelujah. Boy, I could not even stand for somebody to even mention hell. I'm talking about when 19 years old, when I got saved. If a preacher mentioned hell, my heart would break. And I'd crawl on my all fours somewhere to get alone and just say, God, don't let my brother go to hell. Lord, don't let my mama go to hell. Don't let my daddy and I, boy, I'd agonize with God. I'm saying we need to get jump-started once again and get that back, say amen, a burden and concern for our loved ones, amen. Most people, the burden and concerns, them went out the window. They don't foresee the things which are beyond. See, I've seen God save drunks and harlots and thieves. I've seen God save about every class you can think of. Amen. Boy, I love it. Hey, Brother Arnold, did I tell you this? I'm going to. I was preaching down in Albany, Kentucky. Brother Sam Boer, good church, Gospel Independent Baptist Church. But the pastor has got a huge sore, an open sore right here that won't heal. And he's had it for, man, I don't know, ever since I've known him. It won't heal. Every now and then he has to go to the doctor, and they do everything in the world, antibodies, and do everything, try to get that hip healed. So he hadn't been to church for 6 or 8 weeks, and the revival started. I went in there, and they went and got him a chair, an office chair. He sat in that office chair and put his leg up here like this. Boy, that building full of people, Brother Jay. I mean, boy, I turned around, and that choir, boy, they got a choir and a half. And Brother Sam said, Brother Sisson, just take the pulpit. I went straight to that pulpit and turned around there and looked there. Boy, that building was full of people. And I seen this man sitting back there, and I knew he wasn't no American. I mean, I knew he wasn't no American. I didn't know what nationality he was, but I didn't know he wasn't no American. Man, I preached like a wild man, gave the invitation, and all of a sudden this real, immaculately dressed woman. I wish you could have seen her, immaculately dressed. One of them diamonds about that big. You never seen such diamonds in all your life, and I'm not talking about that phony stuff either. Son, that woman come to that altar broken. Brother Sam got out of that chair and got down on his knees, and that woman got saved, and her two teenage daughters got saved. Boy, as I'm preaching like a wild man, here stood this distinguished-looking man, this little bitty mustache, well-groomed man. Boy, I gave the invitation. All of a sudden, out that aisle he come. Boy, you ought to see him. He comes straight to me, and I said, can I help you? He said, you could have, but the good Lord's already helped me. I said, wonderful, dear God. I said, sir, we got down on our knees right here in front of the communion table. I said, sir, I said, what nationality are you? He says, I'm Iraqi. I said, you're what? He said, I'm Iraqi. And then my little flags went up, and I said, why are you coming? He said, I realized I was lost. I realized I was going to hell. Amen. He said, I asked the Lord to save me right back there. Amen. I said, if you used to die, would you go to heaven? Yes, sir. I said, can you tell them people that? I stood him up in front of all them people. I said, tell them what happened to you. He said, I received Christ as my Savior. Amen. Amen. Needless to say, I went wild. Amen. Look here. November, he was going back to Iraq. You do know that when he converted into Christianity, do you do know that he's an infidel? Do you know his family will never have nothing to do with him again? Do you realize that? He said, I said, and you need to tell everybody you got saved. He said, I will. He's a businessman. He said, I will. Y'all ain't nothing blesses you people. My point is watch this. I've seen God. That jump starts me. We go into churches and boy, you don't never see anybody getting saved, and the baptismal, nobody getting baptized, and no lives are changing. Hey, we need to get jump started, amen. Lord God, listen, I'll tell you what, this church come alive, amen. All we need to do is just get jump started. Third thing, look in your Bible, watch this. Not only do we need to forget all the past grief, not all the past grudges, not all the past guilt, and all this past glory, but then we need to foresee the things which are to come. What do you mean, Bill says, I love this, I love that song. I go with these Indians sometimes twice a year, and I love it. All them little Indians, they'll come, and they always sing this just for me. He's still working on me. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing that God is still working on us? You ain't arrived. You ain't got all knowledge. You ain't got all... Say amen. Man, there's blessings out there for all of us if we just get plugged in. We need to foresee the things which are beyond. What do you mean, preacher? You ought to envision, dear God, your mom and dad, your family. You ought to envision all of them saved, amen, in the ark of safety. See, I believe in household salvation, dear God. Third thing, let me show you this. Watch this. We need to foresee not stocks and bonds and material things and money and buying houses and dream houses. Dumbest thing I've ever seen in all my life. Look up here just a moment. I'll preach in a minute. Dumbest thing I've ever seen in all of my life is a man and wife up in their 60s go build a 9,000 square foot dream house. With three floors. And they both done had artificial bones, hips and joints. That's sort of dumb to me. Say amen. But they live for that. Or they live for dream vacation. Nobody dreams to see people get saved anymore. Nobody don't dream to see the house of God come alive anymore. Proverbs says, without a vision, people perish. A lot of preachers need to get, once again, they need to get jump started, amen. We'll need to come alive. What do you mean, brother, sister? Now watch this. Are you ready to go back? We need to forget the things which are behind. That's in verses, look in verse 13. Foresee the things which are before us. Number 3, look in your Bible, verse 12. Back up. Not as though that I'd already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. What do you mean by that, brother, sister? Follow the things which are beyond. Learn the lessons of faith which are beyond our grasp. The preacher's talking about Sunday school out this morning, talking about Israel. Very few people know anything about Israel. But I'm telling you right now, boy, we're getting ready to leave this world. I mean, hey, are y'all up in arms over here about the money? He's talking about the euro. Anybody got one of them new dollars in your pocket? Anybody here at all? They got new dollars, them gold dollars. That on the edge of it here, it says, in God we trust. Out here. He don't say in God we trust on the face or on the back. It says it here. I fired a letter off to our congressman, Hal Rogers, and I've yet to get a definition as to why that they've done that. It's not that they didn't have room. Somebody drew that thing up. Would y'all say amen? The psalmist said, the wicked and the nations that forget God should be turned into hell. What do you mean, brother, sister? That God in God we trust, e pluribus unum, on the outside, that's the first thing that wears off. What are you trying to get me to see, brother, sister? We're living on the verge of the coming of our Lord. Oh, look, we can learn daily. Boy, I mean, Paul says in verse 10, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Boy, if you'd be honest, brother, listen. Most of us, every now and then, just need to get jump started. Every now and then, boy, every now and then, we just need somebody to jump start us. The Holy Ghost of God just needs to get us jump started. Amen. Boy, your prayer life used to be wonderful. Boy, you used to read the Word of God. Boy, it intrigued you. Boy, you loved the house of God. You like the songs of Zion. Now it's just all commonplace. Come in, sit down, get up, go home. Lord, boy, if you ever get jump started, bet you might work. You make that worse than I do. I'd love to see that. Do y'all understand what I just said? Do you understand about jump starting? Huh? A good battery that's got full 12 volts. Amen. Our problem is most of us are running here on the negative side. We ain't got enough power to jumpstart anybody. Just need to get jumpstarted. Boy, hey, I looked at that plug-in this morning. Look right there. I don't know who y'all's power company is down here, but somewhere they're generating power. There's inestimable power in that plug-in. We just need to get plugged in. Some of y'all need to get plugged in real bad. Our kids, a preacher asked me last week, he said, Brother Sisson, he said, do you go in churches where there ain't no young people anymore? I said, sad to say, yes. We're losing our young people to the secular world. They can't wait to get their temps. They can't wait to get their driver's license. Then they can't wait to go to Wendy's or to McDonald's or wherever else. First thing you know, the world system out here has got more intrigued than the house of God. Hey, I know when the Spirit of God says quit. I want us to stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.